Welcome to the Unite Church podcast. For more information about Unite Church, visit unitechurchak.org. Now enjoy this message from Josh Tanner.
It's really wise for us that if we're going to do this, we all do this. And if we lean in really strong in this simple way, the enemy is going to lose some territory. And we're going to stir up something really awesome, because one of the biggest tricks of the enemy is that he wants to get his church, he wants to get God, Jesus' church, the church, to believe that we have no power or to feel like we're not qualified to use that power. And if we can just flip that in our mind and understand what kind of power we have, how the fight is working, and some of the overall strategy of the enemy, what stresses him and what's his strategy. When you understand the enemy, any of enemies, stressors and strategies, you understand their weakness. And this is one of the simple things I want us to understand, and I think God wants us to understand. I don't want to be too, like, whatever about it, but I think that the Lord wants us to understand what's really going on. And when we know that, then we can use the most impactful strategies, kingdom strategies and tools that God has given us, and I think we can win, all right? One of the great things is we already know we're winners, right? We already have won, but living and standing in that victory is one of the big challenges. So let's jump in. We're gonna go Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Now, a lot of people will teach this, and they'll teach you all the things about how you do all of this, and you put on helmets and armor, and I don't teach all that stuff, so it's cool if you do it. But that's not what we're going to talk about today. I want to pull out some things that I believe are the most important message that there's this whole, you know, object lesson, verbal object lesson going on here, so that we can remember and people can remember how to fight. And so we have Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, and this is famously known as the armor of God. And so we look here. Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. So who are we strong in? And whose power? Sweet. Okay, let's keep that in mind. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand, say stand, against the devil's schemes. Okay, so just pause here for a second. We're gonna stand, we're gonna lean on whose power? God's power, and we now understand we have an adversary, an enemy, the devil. This is a real dude. He's not a dude, he's actually an angel, but he's an angel dude, okay? So if you're wondering, there are angel dudes. They're out there, okay? And this angel, dude, is our adversary, our chief primary adversary. And he has schemes. I know some of you have been around a long time. You're like, duh. Listen, lots of this stuff out here. Brand new Christians, you guys are in the room. You just came to the Lord. You hear all kind of mysticism and stuff. And like, well, the devil's just this kind of like thing we talk about or whatever. No, we're going to talk a little bit about who he really is and what he can and cannot do today. But he is a schemer. He is a total scam artist all day long, all the time. And he's strategizing and planning all the time to try to disrupt the plans of God. Okay, verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities and against the powers of this dark world and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So we see that we're in the natural realm, there are heavenly realms, and we're actually warring not against me and Jared, but against the enemy who's influencing Jared to speak in the middle of my messages all the time. just teasing, bro. He doesn't do that very often. It's funny when he does it. But if Jared and I get into a conflict, and Jared and I are mature believers, we understand, wait a second, you're not actually my enemy. The devil's trying to convince you that you're my enemy. You might have done something stupid, or I might have done something stupid, but that doesn't make him my enemy. But our actual enemy is trying to get us to fight against one another to believe we are actually the enemies. Or I mean, I'm going to be just the tiniest bit political right now, that like one side of a political, you know, entity, independents, Democrats or Republicans, oh, they're the enemy. Actually, no, human beings are not your enemy. The devil and all the fallen angels, which are now demons, those are our true enemies. They're the ones influencing any of those people in any organizations, whether they're churches, families, businesses, political entities, to do things that are not in the will of God. So we understand the fight is actually above humanity, influencing humanity. And if I can rescue you from the influence of the enemy, we start winning. Does that make sense? Okay. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything you can do to stand, so I just want you to just stay here for a second. When the day of evil comes, that means it's coming. Not if. Sometimes as Christians, we get confused, like going, what did I do? You might not have done anything. It's just when. It's not what, it's when. The enemy is bringing attacks. We are in a fallen world. It's coming. Are we ready? We need to know we're ready. And sometimes we personalize this and we get all like, what did I do? And maybe you did do something, but it's not necessarily the truth. You could be winning and doing good, and the enemy is coming. And typically what I've found in my life is the better we're doing as collectively as a church or as an individual, the more the enemy comes after me and comes after the people I care about and comes after us, and the spiritual attack is on. And there's a reason why. There's a reason why. We'll talk about it. But it says here in verse 14, stand firm. So once you've stood your ground and you have done everything you can do to stand, it says stand firm with the belt of truth around your waist. Keep it around your waist, everybody. It's very important to do this. The breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, which you can use to extinguish all flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Also pray for me, so that whenever I speak, the words that I have been given will fiercely make known the mystery of the gospel. I almost said that right. Okay, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. I'm pretty sure you guys got it. All right. Some important things here. We're going to stand. Doesn't say run. Doesn't say swing your sword. Doesn't say do all these things. This is a very defensive position. Do you see that? It's very much in the kingdom. We are filled with the presence of God. And one of the things the Lord wants us to do is to just not give up ground and stand. Wherever you're at, get your feet planted. And this is telling us, like, don't give up ground. The enemy's coming. I don't know if you've ever seen any good, like, military, like, movies like medieval ones, Vikings and stuff like that, that are like, they show the warfare, and they, Romans do this, they all go shield wall. You guys ever seen any movie where they go shield wall? And then everybody gets in and they go, and they all put their shields together and they all lean in. It's pretty rad. And you go, that's kind of formidable. Like, that's kind of hard to beat. Shield wall. That's the shield of faith. That is the stand. That is the get your feet fitted. That is what this is, imagery of what this is talking about, is we have components within that God has, tools or weapons that God has given us as believers, that we need to understand what they are. And we need to use those weapons to stand and stand together. And when we stand together, we form this huge shield wall that is formidable against the enemy. He actually cannot penetrate it. It's impossible if we stand. But if we break ranks and we turn on each other, then we fall. You know, in the Battle of 300 at the Pass of Thermopylae, it's like this amazing story of where the Persians were coming to attack the Greeks and the Spartans. They sent the Spartan team out there of 300 guys, and this is what they did. Elite soldiers. They are piling up tens of thousands of bodies on the other side of this shield wall. They just rotate 300 guys. They might have stopped them if somebody didn't come around the pass and sneak up behind them and they had to fight on two fronts. And that's typically how we get in trouble, is the enemy gets behind us, gets within our ranks. He infiltrates somebody, right? Any one of us. It's been me at times. It's been you at times. And we realize, ooh, I was operating under the influence, okay? It wasn't so good. Whenever we're operating under the influence, we're in trouble. But one of the things we got here is we have this imagery of that we're gonna stand. We got a belt of truth that like centers us, the truth of God, the gospel of peace. These are some keys to the weapons we have. And like David, when he was fighting with Goliath, Saul tried to get him to put on his armor. And David goes, that's not the stuff, those aren't the tools that God has taught me how to use. Those aren't the weapons that I have. And he sticks with his sling and his couple stones. In fact, it only took one little stone to beat a giant that day because he used the tools that God had given him. And the faith to use those tools, it doesn't matter about like, well, how do you win if you just stand? You don't have to figure that out. I don't have to figure that out. We have to understand the tools he gave us and stick to those tools and just use those. And just trust God that my little pebble creates a huge explosion in the kingdom, knocks over giants. Because the thing about the story of David and Goliath is that David understood that Goliath was on God's land. Goliath was blaspheming God. He's like, he shows up and he goes, you're in trouble, because he was fitted with the truth. And everybody else didn't know what was going on. And they were afraid because they weren't fit with the truth. And he just used his weapons that God gave him. And he goes, I'm going to go over there as a little teenager or whatever he was. I'm like, whoop, whoop, psh. And I kind of like the kid's story one version of it. It's like, whoo, 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 you know. It's kind of like that. The dude had a giant sword. He was a beast. And there was no way in the natural David could ever have defeated a giant like that. But it was because he was fit in the truth. He understood the word. He understood what God had promised, and he knew where that devil was. When you know where the devil is and whose ground he's on, when you stand, he cannot stand in your presence. But if we don't know these things and we don't understand these things, we actually get into trouble. So one of the things I want us to just understand here is that there is a There is an enemy, guys, that is after us. And he's been around for thousands of years, and we're just individuals in this little blip of time. And he's been working on different humans in their tiny little lifespan for thousands of years. Before the cross and Jesus came, and then after the cross, which there's a huge power shift that happened in the last 2,000 years after Jesus came. And we need to understand that before, the devil was running rampant across the whole world, all empowered, and then Jesus stripped him of that power. But I won't read this. We're just gonna summarize this. But in Matthew chapter 3, we see Jesus, after he's baptized, he goes out into the wilderness, and the devil himself comes to Jesus and tempts him. Satan himself comes to Jesus and tempts him in that space. And in that place, he is casting lies and tempting Jesus after he had just been baptized. And he is like trying to get him to fall away. We could preach all kinds of cool messages out of this. But the thing I want us to get is that the devil is real. He's coming to tempt. It's one of his primary strategies. And the primary defense against the strategies of temptation and the lies and the deception and the twisting is the anchoring of the truth, which is found in the word of God. If you and I do not know the word of God, we're in trouble to play defense. It's hard to stand because you go, well, you know what? That actually makes a lot of sense. Maybe I should bow down and worship you. well, maybe I should jump off that cliff. Like, that's the things he was trying to get Jesus to do. He's all like, but Jesus, of course, he is the Word. Kind of handy. Kind of handy when you are the Word. I mean, it's sort of funny that the devil was tempting God, the Word, with the Word. But this lets you have a clue. There's this cool passage, and we're just going to take a little bit of insight. There's a cool passage in the Bible that talks about when we see the devil, who, like, at the end of the world, and we look back and we get to see him, and we're like, that's the guy that shook the world? This puny little what? Are you kidding me? Like, that's a perspective that we're going to gain when we get to heaven. That's how Jesus was looking at the devil that day. The devil's like, all boasted up, and he was all empowered. He didn't realize he was about to get stripped. When Jesus went to the cross, he was about to get stripped, and he didn't even know that was going to happen. And so he's there tempting God, the Word. And when we understand our position and who the devil is and what kind of power he has now, it shifts the game for us, like it did for Jesus, because Jesus changed some things. He shifted some major things that are very important for us today. Now, one thing I want you to know is that the devil's real. He's a created being. He's not a myth. He's not another god. He is a fallen angel. He's not Jesus's brother. Some other religions out there teach that the devil's Jesus's brother. He's not his brother. He's just a created being. He was an angel. He had a job in heaven or in eternity, and he screwed all that up because he wanted to take over and be like God himself. He convinced a third of the angels to jack it all up and try to take it over, and with one word, God smoked them all. One word! And then they're like, let's keep fighting. You're like, oh yeah, that was close. It's like the guy who's gonna fight Mike Tyson right now. You're like, you're an idiot. Why are you doing this? I wanna see it. Everybody's gonna make money. We're gonna watch that guy get obliterated by an old Mike Tyson. Don't fight Mike Tyson. Okay. He has a name. God gave him a name. His name was Lucifer. And then when he fell, God changed his name to Satan. And then God calls him names, which is kind of funny. So don't get too on everybody who call people names. You can call the devil names, I guess. I guess that's okay. It's not really okay to call anybody else names, I think. He did call Pharisees vipers and stuff like that, but let's let Jesus call people names. He calls the devil, he calls Satan the devil, he calls him, you know, the evil one, he calls him a serpent, he calls him the dragon. Okay, there's all kinds of different names for our one enemy, but then he has all kinds of other demons. Now, these demons all have a nature, so I just want to encourage you, don't get so caught up into calling all these demons different kind of nature names, like Jezebels, and these are people, okay, like, that were influenced by demons. If you get influenced by a demon, you're gonna have a demonic nature, okay? And that's gonna express itself in all kinds of ways that are all the same, really. Deception, lying, stealing, killing, destroying, dividing, it's all twisting, manipulating, all of those things are the things. Rebellion is all on the heart of every demon. And their chief is Satan. He is somehow in charge of all these jokers, okay? But to imagine he's just some mystical thing is a mistake. And he has influence. That influence was greater, but it's been stripped, and he still has influence. He still has power. It's kind of hard to know exactly how much power does he have right now, but there's things that we do know. He is not omniscient. That means he is not all-seeing and all-knowing. He is not omnipresent. He cannot be, and no demon can be everywhere at all time. They're selective beings, just like us. They take up time and space. They're not omnipotent. They're not all-powerful. And they're not omnipotent, like some of the people you've been around when you get to the shopping mall. Okay. Means they smell a lot. Okay. Some of them come in and fill up the place with smell. Okay, so omnipotent always... Okay, shut up, Josh. All right, so... We see that they have the opportunity to ask for permission from God to sift people, challenge people, test people. But the enemy has to ask for permission now. Even before, there's certain things he could not do, but he could bring calamity on people if he got permission. So that's kind of weird, right? But the thing you and I have to know is that the enemy is a tool for God, always. God never loses control. And if you and I stay rooted and stand in the truth that God loves me, he is good, he is perfect always, even if the test or the trial or the temptation is hard, I am still being shaped into the likeness of God, which is Romans 8, predestined to be made into his image for my good and the good of those around me. How many of y'all wives wish the Lord would test your husbands and help chisel them a little bit to be more in the image of God? Nobody's raising their hands. How many of you husbands would like? Yep, I know, brother. My wife's praying for that too. Which is good. Now, the Lord does promise he won't give us more than we can stand or withhold, right? Or handle. So one of the things I want you to understand is that, or that the Bible talks about, that the enemy can influence, he can deceive, he can lie, he can intimidate, he can torment, he can oppress and possess, which is kind of wild. There's examples of this all through the Bible. And we're not going to get into, can he possess a believer? I kind of don't believe that's really true. He can certainly influence believers, guys. All right, we know that's true. He can torment and oppress. Even when we have the power, if we are not standing like we can or fighting like we can, then the enemy starts to get leverage over us. And that's one of the practical places I want to come into right now. We're going to read a couple scriptures so you can see and I can see how empowered we are. First John chapter 3, verse 8. But the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. This is good news. Colossians 2:13. You were dead because of your sins, and because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all your sins. Good news. He canceled the record of charges against us and took it away, nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. This is awesome. He shamed the devil by taking away our sin. That's how he disempowered the enemy. The enemy doesn't have leverage over us, not because we don't sin, but because our sin was paid for. And there's no longer condemnation for that sin. Now, I do think it's important that when we walk in purity, that we walk in righteousness or right standing with God, we're walking in the power that God has given to us, entrusted to us. And when we slip and fall, fundamentally that power is still accessible to us, but we lose confidence in standing in that power because we get taken into our own shame. All right? So sin matters. Jesus died for our sin, and that is the very thing that disempowered the enemy and his leverage over God's people, and it is the very thing that he tries to get us to do over and over so we disempower ourselves from making any advancement in the kingdom or even standing the current ground we have. Are you guys getting this? This is a really important piece for us to understand, is that Jesus himself stripped the enemy of his power when he died on the cross. And then he says, all power and authority was given to me in Matthew 28. And he says, I'm giving it to you. You're like, what? You're gonna go make disciples. If we go back to Ephesians 6, just remember it says, our feet were fitted with the gospel of peace. When you bring the gospel, you bring the power of God. When you bring Jesus lives, loves, and saves, that Jesus is God and he saves. And no one is outside of his saving reach. Nothing you have ever done could ever disqualify you from being in God's family. That's the gospel of peace. And all you have to do is believe in the one who he sent, the name of Jesus, and you will be saved. When you bring that with you, you bring power that strips the enemy everywhere. And this is the first spiritual principle in warfare I want us to get, is that when you bring the gospel of peace, I'm not even saying you have to preach it. You need to pray it. If you want the devil to stop messing with you, you start praying the gospel of peace over people. And I'm going to show you just a little thing. But here's the thing I want you to get too. Let's go Revelation 12, 12, and then I'm going to show you a little something. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows his time is short. Whoa. And it goes on to say here in Romans 12, if you guys want to read around this, is that he's actually attacking the seed of the Son of God. Everybody who calls on the name of the Son of God, the name of Jesus, all of those, his family, those are the ones he's mad and going after. Why is he mad? Because his time is short. This is a really important thing we all need to understand about what stresses the devil out. And I'm telling you, this stresses him out hardcore. This is his primary stressor, is because he knows he is headed for what the Bible calls the lake of fire. If you were headed for the lake of fire, you'd be stressed out too. I don't care what kind of person you are. But when you know there is no recovery because you've just blown it that bad, and this is where the devil is at, he has been judged already. All his judgment has already happened. The fulfillment of that judgment is the lake of fire. The completion of that judgment is the lake of fire. Okay? If you had that coming at you, you'd be stressed. The devil's stressed. There are two major marker points that none of us can count except the Father himself. That are, but the devil knows this. He knows this, but he doesn't know how many that will trigger the return of Jesus, the appointed time of of the devil's judgment. And that is the full number of Gentiles coming in. Those are non-Jews, people that are not of Jewish descent. And when they get saved, when the full number of martyrs comes in, they have been killed, then it triggers a revival in the Jews and the end will come. All the other crazy stuff that you hear about, blah, 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 those are the things. The devil knows this. So when you and I lead someone to Jesus, pray for them to get saved, he gets stressed. Because one more, Demetri is in, he's like, G-g-g. That's time. That, I don't know, is that a minute? It doesn't matter, it's not really a minute, it's a quantity. If 1,000 people get saved, holy smokes, he's like, oh, I gotta go shut some of this down. Because 1,000, 10,000, 1,000,000 people get saved. The devil starts sweating hardcore. And who is he going after? Not the person who's sitting on their hands, doing nothing. On the people who are active. But I'm telling you, if we're not active on winning souls and praying for souls, we are 100% in the spotlight of the enemy to thump us. And so this is a little thing that I feel like God has shown me that I want us to get and walk away with to keep the enemy off our back. But I want to show you an image. Can we put up the little image of Ursula's little garden there? You have that? I don't know if you've ever seen The Little Mermaid, but I've seen every cartoon that's ever been made in the last 27 years because I've had so many children. Do you don't have it? Oh, so sad. Remember Ursula's garden? Have you guys seen Little Mermaid? Here we go. Okay, let's imagine in our minds. And those little weed people, like the people get shrunk down into those little weeds, and they're like shriveled little things. That's what the devil wants you to believe. Oh, well, you had it. The devil wants you to believe that's your spiritual power. Yeah, that's pretty sad. That's the church. You've sinned too much. You're too weak. You don't have real power, and he wants you to believe that's you. In reality, that's him. This is the reality of actually all the demons. This is who they are. And when we get to heaven, this is what it's going to be. You're like, that shook the world? What? But we give this power because they're so crafty. They are such good liars, and they deceive, and they torment, and their influence, and their power, and the presence of them is, if the presence of evil is terrifying, actually. It really is. And it's because they have such bad breath. I mean, imagine if you were like that. You would just, omnipotent, okay. But this principle is really important because this is the enemy is trying to get you believe you're him. But This was us before Jesus came to the cross, and now we switch roles. Maybe not quite exactly this dramatic, I don't know, but that's basically what happened. Jesus goes, no, I just call sin, power of death away from you, and I'm gonna fully empower my kids, and now they are gonna wreck your day. You go into that, when you walk in, that's what you're walking into in a demon party. And this is where some of the greats, they knew this, and I think it's Wigglesworth, but a demon comes in, I think it's Wigglesworth, Smith Wigglesworth is a famous preacher, into his bedroom at night, wakes him up, moves his bed around and something stupid like that, and he wakes up and he goes, what the heck? And he looks over and Satan was there, and he goes, oh, it's you, and he goes back to bed. And then he wakes up and he goes, no, hey, that's not where you found it. He makes the thing put his bed back. It's a kind of a famous story, because he understood where he was at. He understood what was going on. Okay, so when we engage in this space, we have to understand we're more than conquerors. We're super victorious. And that we have been empowered by God to do great works. But in Matthew 9:37, let's go there, Matthew 9:37, he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. Jesus called his 12 disciples. Okay, so like when we go to this, he tells them to do all this work, heal the sick, cast out devils. You have authority. All of that came because primarily they're going after the harvest. One of the greatest spiritual weapons and spiritual warfare that we have is to pray for the harvest. And I want you to think about it like this, is that if a simple process would look like this, let's go down to just the process, is when we come into an encounter with the enemy, and the enemy is jumping into your space, trying to wreck your day. You understand you actually have the power, but it's not gonna feel like that. Because usually fear is a part of this environment. Is that if you just begin to worship God and invite the presence of God and the power of activate his resources into this environment, it's gonna start shifting this. But I'm gonna teach you something here that is gonna really tick the devil off, okay? Is that I pray like this, God, fill me with your power, fill me with your presence. I wanna encounter you right now, come Lord. And sometimes I've been in the place where the enemy is so strong, I can barely say the name of Jesus. I don't know if you've ever, sometimes I come up, I wake up and I'm like, whoa, felt a oppressive spirit laying on me or something. I'm like, get your fat butt off of me. I'm like, what are you doing? And I can barely say the name of Jesus. When I do, boom, relief. Right? And I mean, this is stuff that happens, it's weird. And then invite the presence of God, and then the power and his resources. Angels are his resources. You and I get to actually invite angels and to warfare. They're messengers and war agents for the Lord. It's like, Lord, just loose as many angels as it's gonna take. Fill this room with angels right now. Just show up. We prayed over our building, over our stuff, over our spaces, our homes. Invite God. They're sitting there waiting for the sons of God, the daughters of God, to activate them into warfare. They already know what to do. You don't have to tell them what to do because you don't know. Because the Bible doesn't tell you what to do. None of us really know. But we know that they're the ones that do the warfare, and it's their job. Lord, just send those. Then repent. Because in purity, guys, purity releases power. So when we learn how to operate in purity, it's about like standing on the rock that is Christ. And remember that when Jesus, he cast your sin onto the cross, it disempowers the enemy. So when you have screwed it up, which you will have done, and usually the enemy comes in when you've blown it, you're like doing good and then you make a mistake or whatever, and the enemy goes, hey, you know, you were thinking this or doing that and you did blah, blah, blah. And you're like, yep, you're right. I stink. Jesus, forgive me, because I stink. Access the power of the cross. You've just disempowered the enemy. There's no longer any condemnation. You're like, yep, that was me. Don't pretend like it's not you. Just say, it was me. Activate. Repentance gets you back on the rock. If you're on the rock and when you're sinning and stuff, it's like the rock gets really, really slippery and it's hard to stand on. want to think about that? It's full of algae or whatever. It's your own sin. It's your own responsibility. Get the pressure washing crew out. That's the blood of Jesus. In repentance. Repentance establishes your footing so you can stand. So I always just say, like, Lord, just forgive me for all the junk I've done and I don't even know. Just start repenting like crazy. Devil hates it when you repent, by the way. He's there, he's showing up. Satan himself could show up to this party. 10, 15, 20 demons. He shows up to this party, he is gonna hate this. You start repenting, he's like, dang it. Stink. They figured it out. He's that little shriveled up thing, right? Then we go to war. And warfare looks like this. You wanna start going to war? You start praying for salvations, the gospel of peace. And I promise you, that devil that was bothering you, if you start praying, I'm praying for Demetria. I pray that God moves on her life and her heart. You start, I'm praying for who you know needs to get saved. Every person you know needs to get saved. If the devil starts messing with a person who always prays for salvation and advancement of the kingdom, which shortens their time and goes like, oh wait, lake of fire. Do you know what I'm saying? You praying for lost makes them think lake of fire. And not just think it, they go, da, 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 prayer works. Prayer's real, gospel of peace. Jesus gave them all the power. They know they don't have it. If you start praying for salvations, every time an enemy, the demon or devil starts to bother you, you start praying warfare prayers over souls. God starts saving, be specific. Be very specific. Then you start praying over your enemies, every person you're bitter at. Lord, forgive me for bitterness. God, I pray for that person. You bless them. You move on them. Then they understand, wait, he's figured out that that person is not the enemy. We are. And you just keep doing that. I promise you. You could even just say, hey, demons, just come take a seat. I want you to see what I'm going to do next. Yo, hey, you're here? Just like Wigglesworth. Hey, nice to meet you. Saddle up, big boy. You're about to hate what I'm going to do right now. If the enemy, I promise you, it won't be the same devil. The same devil's not coming back to you to shorten his time so he ends up in the lake of fire. He'd be like, no, let's not mess with that one. He can tell his buddies, like, don't mess with her. You start talking to her, dude, she's going to go thump us. She's going to put us in the lake of fire. Don't talk to her. Now, you might have to train a few devils, guys. You're going to have to train a few devils. But imagine if we all behave like this. If our kids did this. Come on. We just start praying for souls. And it works. Because now you're motivated to pray for souls. And those devils book it. You don't. If you're really hard on him, you say, just stick around. Stick around for this party. You don't even have to tell him to go. If you really want him to just be tormented, you flip the torment on them. Because they hate the presence of Jesus. They hate the presence of God. And then after you're done praying for everybody you can, just keep going. The more you do it, the more you intimidate that devil. And they're gonna be like, well, I'm not talking to that person again. That stung. And then you go to pray and you invite the presence of God again. But you invite the presence of God specifically to minister to you strength. Every time Jesus poured out and did ministry, angels came to minister to him to restore him. So if you're gonna pour out, dude, go access the power. God, restore me, heal me, worship, just worship him. Invite his presence in, kick on worship music. And then I would encourage you, like, know the word of God. When you're gonna pray and you're praying for salvations, you know the word of God, you invite the presence of God, that God is gonna just fill you up. Let's do the next piece. Consistency, guys. Worship and consistency. The more consistent you are, the more devils you're gonna train. Because they're not omnipresent. It's not like you tell one and then they all know. Now, who knows how many there are? Millions of those suckers, right? Who knows how many there are? And they need to be trained and taught that they're these little weeds. And guess what? We're the ones that get to train them. Your kids get to train them. And it's the power of God, and we're leaning on his power, not ours. You don't have to be someone who's been a Christian for more than 10 seconds to access this kind of power. You have instant access to this power when you believe. You're not a baby Jesus. You have the living God inside of you who's fully mature and already ready and done all the work. It's finished, Jesus. Completed, Jesus. Inside of you and me. We don't have to have it. And what a fun thing is to wreck every single demon's birthday party, right? I just think it's awesome that we get to do that. And it changes our perspective from all this fear and intimidation and flexing that the enemy does on us. I want you to just get simple things that I want to encourage you to do. One is, if you want to do this little process, you can jump back one slide for me. We're going to send this out on the devotional, and then I'm going to make a little prayer guide for everybody. We'll pass it out if you want to use it, and it'll have scriptures and stuff like that in it. But get a journal and have a journal. If this is happening to you a lot and you're feeling a lot of demonic things going on, there's a couple things I want to just throw out here. Is one, there's three primary voices going on. There's the enemy's voice, the devil's voice. There's your voice, and there's God's voice. Okay? Now, if you journal and you write down what you think you're hearing, and then you can come back. I'm going to talk about this a little bit next week, so don't get weirded out. If you come back, we'll talk more about it, and I'll help unpack this. But these voices are important to learn how to discern. We're going to talk about how to discern those voices next week, okay? And there is some stuff in here that's important, because in your self voice, there are mental illnesses, guys, where there are fractures and you hear more than one voice in that space. That's not always demonic. It can get complicated there. This is why we recommend counseling, okay? So we'll talk more about that next week, but that learning to discern through journaling is a very important way that you can come back and start to discern, is this the enemy, is this me, or is this God? So next week we're gonna talk about that, okay? So we'll just put a pin in that one, draw a circle around it, we'll come back and we'll chat about it. That'll be beefy and fun to talk about. But if we can go back here to the next slide, guys, invite, repent, go to war. Come on. Pray for salvations, know the word, and then invite the Lord to refresh you, and then worship him and be consistent. You do that, the enemy is gonna start to run. Remember it says, draw near to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. This is how we draw near to God. Lord, let's go to work. Let's go to work. Will you close your eyes with me for a second? Father, we love you. We honor you, Jesus. Your name is above every name. At your name, every demon flees. Every knee bows. Every tongue confesses at some point, Jesus, you are Lord. So right now, today, God, we're asking that your Holy Spirit would come over us. We would hear your voice. We would know your word. And Lord, that you would lead every person in this room that hasn't made a decision for you to you right now. God, I pray you'd loose your angels about this place. Lord, we just command your angels right now to just fall down. And Holy Spirit, we're asking that you would come and fill every heart and every soul. And you would just break every lie of the enemy. And Lord, we're just believing, God, for salvations in this house. Brand new believers to come to know you, and people that are not connected here, we're just believing, Lord Jesus, that you will draw in hundreds, even thousands of more people to know you because of us, our commitment, our power of prayer.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this message, please connect with us at unitechurchak.org. We hope to see you soon.